Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Romans once again. Romans chapter number one. Romans chapter number one. Our theme for this year is for the furtherance of the gospel. And really enjoyed the Lord's been working on my heart about us as a church family, reaching out into our community and telling the importance of furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter number one, there's three great verses. Actually, they're all great, obviously, but there's three verses we're focusing on for a few weeks. Last week, we looked at verse number 14, where Paul says, I am debtor. And we talked about the debt that we owe and the obligations of the gospel and how we should be faithful to the obligations of the gospel. And we talked last week, we looked at that story in the Old Testament that says, we do not well if we remain silent or if we hold our tongues. It's important that we share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This week, we're going to look at verse number 15, where it says, so as much as is in me. So Paul is not saying, you know, just a portion of me or just a little bit. He's saying as much as is in me, all of me. He says, what's he ready to do? He says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So here's the thought today is I am ready. So the first week was I am debtor. This week, we're looking at I am ready, which means flexible for the opportunities of the gospel. And next week, we're going to look at verse 16, for I'm not ashamed, for I'm not ashamed. Now, the Apostle Paul, many people would say, is the greatest Christian to ever live, or at least that's been recorded. And all the different things he did, how God used him, all the different things he had done for the Lord. He met the Lord on the road to Damascus. Before that, he was known for being someone who hated Christians and hated believers, even consented to their death and even persecuted Christians and more than likely even killed Christians. But here the Lord changes him. Acts chapter number 9, there's when he meets the Lord or when he in the road to Damascus, he asks in Acts 9, 5, who art thou, Lord? And in Acts 9, 6, after he hears that he's God, he says, what will thou have me to do? So my encouragement this morning as we look at this, if we realize who God is and we believe there is a God and we believe he's the God of the Bible, our question should be with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, verse number 6, what will thou have me to do? Because that's what our desires in our life is. What is it that God wants me to do? What is it that God wants me to do with my life? And I truly believe that he has left us here that are believers to do his will. And his will is that we would further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of different things, a lot of different categories, a lot of different thoughts that go along with that, being the right husbands, being the right wives, being the right fathers, mothers, children, you know, all those different things about living a godly, holy life that shines as a light to the world. But he also has a desire that we on purpose will further the gospel of Jesus Christ. This past week, what did we do to actually get the gospel out? How many gospel tracts did we have hand out? How many conversations did we have? What did we do this week? How many times did we pray for those that are missionaries, for others that go out? What have we done this week to further the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I, like I said, this whole entire year, my hope and my desire is that God would continue to work in our hearts and lives. And even this past week, I had a number of people come up to me, maybe not a number, a few people come up to me and say, hey, you know, I got the opportunity to share the gospel with this individual. I got the opportunity over coffee to be able to talk to this person. And people just telling me that they were there and used the opportunity I had to further the gospel. That yesterday they had people out knocking on doors and just inviting people to church and discussing the gospel and whether or not people know Christ as their personal savior. That is the mission, the commission that God's given us to the world is to go out and tell the gospel. But the problem is that we get so busy sometimes we forget to do that. We get so busy sometimes that we're just not ready and prepared to do it. So when he looks at this in verse number 15 and says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. My question for you today is, are you ready to give out the gospel? Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us. Lord, we need you. We need you in so many different ways. We need you in every area of our life. Lord, that you would work in our hearts. I know there's people in this room, number one, that may not even be saved, may not even really understand what the gospel is. I know there's other people in this room that even though they're saved and on their way to heaven, just do not share the gospel on a regular basis. And Lord, there's others in this room that's saved and have a burden on their heart, but they fight with this, whether or not they should or how to do it. And then there's others that really truly have given their heart and surrendered their heart, Lord, to share the gospel with others. Lord, I pray that even today and throughout this year, that as we look in your scripture about the word gospel and what the word gospel means and what it means to further the gospel, Lord, that you would give us a burden in our heart to be submissive and surrendered to your will and your way. And Lord, that we would spend our lives showing others and telling others the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you bless the message. Lord, that it be your words that you once said. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm ready. Now, when we talk about being ready, there's a couple different ways of looking at that. You know, I'm ready in the idea that sometimes when I'm waiting for my wife, or more times than not, my wife's waiting for me, and she's like, are you guys ready? Or I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be picked up. I'm ready this, that. We know there's anticipation that we're ready to do something. And the question is, today in your life, if there was someone there that you knew that needed to hear the gospel or to hear the truth about how to get to heaven when they died, and they were interested in it, could you share that with them? Are you ready to do that? Are you prepared to do that? Could you take the Bible, take the word of God, and take them through the scriptures and show them from the Bible? And there's plenty of different words, plenty of different verses that John 3:16 that people use, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. There's lots of different verses that tell us the truths about the Bible and the truths about the necessity of what Christ did on the cross, putting your faith and trust in the truth that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. Would you be able to explain to someone how they could be born again? You say, Pastor, I really don't know how to do that. Then you're not really ready. But we're not going to talk all the way about that today. We're going to look at a couple other things. And this year, we're going to go through different times to help people be prepared and be ready. Last week, we gave a little challenge at the end of the message. Today, we're going to give another little challenge, something to do this week to help us further the gospel. Last week, we talked about looking up different passages that talked about the place called hell. And we talked about the motivation for wanting to tell others, and a great motivation to help keep people out of hell, but their greatest motivation should be a love for Jesus Christ. But today, when we look at this idea, last week when we talked about being a debtor, we talked about faithful to the obligation of the gospel. Today, when it says, I am ready, I want to talk about being flexible for the opportunities of the gospel. Looks again, verse number 15. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Now, look at this little last phrase, to you that are at Rome also. Now, Paul has already done at this point in his ministry many different things in reaching people for Jesus Christ. He had presented the gospel in many different areas. But now he's saying, hey, look, not only have I done it here in Ephesus and done it here in Corinth, and I've done it here in Thessalonica, I've done it in all these other places. Hey, I'm ready also to preach the gospel to you in Rome also. I guess God kind of worked in my heart this week, looking at a list of people, especially specifically one person. Would you be ready to talk to them about the gospel? And once again, this is an individual I've known for years, an individual who has maybe a little bit of a spiritual mindset, but I don't know really truly if they're born again. And God brought to my heart, hey, have you ever really truly had an honest conversation to them about the gospel? I spent many times with them, spent many hours with them. I looked at different things. He says, are you ready to? But I've always said, no, I'm not ready for that. It would be kind of a difficult situation. It'd be kind of a little hard. And we've talked about spiritual things. We've talked about the gospel before, but have I ever said, hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven? I've never done that. And so that's the question I want you to think maybe in your heart and mind today. Is there somebody that you know that has a need, a spiritual need in your life that you have a regular contact with that you should share the gospel with? Are you ready for that? And here's some things I think that could help you, because I know what some people are thinking. No way I could ever talk to that family member. No way I could ever talk to that boss. There's no way I could ever talk to that friend. There's no way. And we're going to try to help. And I'm praying that God will help us in this week and next week and from last week, understand that we do have an obligation to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we should also remain flexible. God gives us opportunities. God gives us divine appointments. I was talking to somebody yesterday who was telling me a little bit about how God worked in his life this way, past week, and had the opportunity to share the gospel a few different times, tell their testimonies. And I said to him, he says, you know, there's people out there that tell me this. I just don't get the opportunity to talk to people about the gospel. And he looked at me, he says, that's just not true. Now, and I said, I agree. That's the whole reason why I brought up the statement. And that might be, you might be thinking, well, that's me. I don't ever get the chance. And this is the thought here, that if God wants to see people saved, and we believe he wants to see people saved, right? We believe that, don't we? That, you know, for God so loved the world, he's not willing that any should perish. You know, he has a desire that God will be able to bring people into our lives that we have the opportunity to share the gospel with if we are, number one, surrendered to his will, and number two, looking for opportunities. Surrendered to his will, number one, but also looking for opportunities. Some people are like, well, I never get the chance. Well, number one, are you surrendered? I mean, if you had the opportunity, would you be willing to present the gospel? And number two, are you looking for the opportunities? Because when I was talking to this individual, he's like, hey, every week when I go to the store, there's somebody there that I get the chance to share my testimony with. And every time I go out, and if we do it on purpose, you know what? God's going to give us opportunities if we allow him to. It's just, number one, we have to be surrendered. We have to be saying, I understand it's God has given me a commission. God has given me a command that I should go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel. He said, Pastor, I guess I don't have any opportunities. Well, sometimes you make your own opportunities. But I'm talking about different divine appointments that God brings people into your lives as you're surrendered and you have a burden that God will give you the opportunity to discuss and tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. We have I Love My Church Sunday. The reason why we have I Love My Church Sunday is so that way people can know, hey, we really enjoy what God has done through our church and the difference he's made in our lives. Why don't you come see why we love our church so much? You might not understand. You might not agree. But I tell you, I've been in church all my life, and I'm just thankful for the relationships. I'm thankful for how God's worked in my heart. Thankful for the fact, the opportunity to help raise my family in church. You know, a whole bunch of different things that I love about church. And there's a world out there that looks at the church and says, oh, that's just strange. It's weird. I don't know why you go there all the time. And it's the idea, I love my church. And these are some of the reasons. And that's what on the little postcard that we're making, it says, I love my church. And he says, come see why. And we're encouraging people, hey, come see why we love our church. And my goal, my hope is that we will have different things that represents different ministries in our church that says, hey, we love our church because it gives me a chance to be able to have people teach my children besides the same things I'm teaching them at home. And there's all different type of things here. But we must learn to be flexible. Are we seeking divine appointments? Are we really willing to go anywhere and talk to anyone? That's what it says in verse number 15. So as much as as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So with that thought process there, Rome would be a tough case. Rome would be a tough spot to go. You say, why in the world would Rome be difficult? Well, you think about it. If you're Paul, you're coming to Rome and you're talking to people that are the elite of the day. And you're going up there and say, hey, let me tell you about this Jew. And you're like, a Jew? Why do I even want to hear about a Jew? I mean, there are conquered people. What do I need to know about you? He said, well, maybe it's one of the great philosophers or the leaders of you. No. Let me tell you about this Jewish carpenter. You know, can you imagine trying to tell that story to those at Rome? It would be an unreached people group in many ways. And as they're going out there, it's a difficult case. It's a difficult story. And when you look at this, he's coming there and but Paul says, hey, look, I'm ready. And number one, we have to be not only when we're ready, we also have to be willing too. Are you willing? That's where it comes down to the surrender. So here's a couple things I know I would like to consider. First, if you're going to be ready, first, you must be ready to live for Christ. If you're going to be ready to preach the gospel, I'm ready to preach the gospel. He says, I'm a lady. I can't preach. This is talking about heralding the good news. This is for all. This is not talking about ladies preaching at men and things like that. It's talking about us carrying the gospel to others. So he says, I am ready to preach. He says, I am ready to herald the good news. I'm willing to do this in a very difficult location. How can we make ourselves ready? Number one, we must be ready to live for Christ. The Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul was a great witness, but he also was part of the evidence. Not only was he a witness to about the Jesus, what Christ had done for him, but he was part of the evidence. He lived for Christ. If you're really truly going to be ready to preach the gospel, to give the gospel out, you must first determine your life. I need to be ready to live for him. For me to live is Christ. Now, Paul also said in Acts 20, verse 24, he said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Not only was he ready to live, he was also ready to die for Christ. So, Pastor, what do you mean ready to live for Christ? Well, Paul had such a great change on the road to Damascus, where he was headed to go persecute Christians, have Christians put to death, drag them back to Jerusalem, have them in prison, and also put to death. God, when he met him, there was this drastic change in his life. And that's what happens when a person becomes a believer. The Bible says that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We become a new creature in Christ. We become born again. And there should be a change that happens in our life. And that change that happens means that there should be a change in the way we live our lives. If you've been born again, there is a change. There needs to be a change. And you should have seen something that happened to your life. So Paul here, he's a witness, but also he's proof. He's evidence. And when he would go, when he went to believers at the beginning, they didn't want to have anything to do with Paul. When God went to that, God told that man to go and speak to Paul at the beginning when he was blind. He's like, I don't want to talk to him. I've heard many things about him, how he's persecuted those that are in the part of the way, and all those different things. And he's like, no. There's been a change. So he said, Pastor, what are you getting at? We must learn to live for Christ if we're going to be a good gospel carrier. Because there should be a difference in our lives. Is there anything? I heard one person, preacher, put it this way. Paul's life has changed. And he says, is there anything in your life that would provoke others to be jealous of what you have? Now, we're not talking about jealousy in a bad way. But he says, is there anything in your life that would provoke others to want what you have or to be jealous of what you have? Meaning that God has made such a change in your life and God had made such a change in your heart, that God had done such a great work, that there was something that was in your heart and that was in your life that your neighbor see, your family sees you, the people you work with, you see that there's something different about you because you allow God to make this change in your life, that you're ready to preach the gospel, you're ready to give the gospel because of the fact that you're ready to live for Christ. That it's not just us there preaching to someone, but they see that there's been a heart change and they see that there's something different, that you're bearing the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, that there's something different about you. And they look at you and say, hey, there's something different about you. I want what you have. Now, I know people talk about lifestyle evangelism. And don't get me wrong. Being Spirit-filled Christian is something that's going to be attractive to some. People are going to despise it at other times, but there's going to be some that see, hey, you have a peace that's unlike anything else that I know. You have a joy. You have a hope. What is that joy and that hope that's in you? The Bible even talks about in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. And once again, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What a great verse. It's about, I'm ready to give an answer. Give an answer to who? Those who would ask you, hey, why are you so hopeful? Why do you have so much joy? Why is it that you're different than everyone else? Why is it that the world doesn't seem to affect you like the rest of the world? And when you're going through a hard time, you still have a kind and sweet spirit. There is a difference about you. If you're truly going to be ready, as Paul says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. He says, I am ready to do that. We have to be ready to live for Christ. We have to have that testimony that shows and demonstrates that I care and God's made a difference in my heart and God's made a difference in my life. And I want to make a difference in yours too. Not only is it ready to live for Christ, but ready to die for Christ. I mentioned the verse earlier, but he says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I die daily. If you're going to really, truly live for him, you have to be ready to die for him also. Now, don't get me wrong. No, I'm not saying you should have a death wish. I'm not saying that you should go up to a house and say, hey, I hope somebody shoots me. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if we're truly going to learn how to live for Christ, we have to realize that living for Christ means that I'm willing to die daily, that I'm willing to say no to my flesh, that I'm willing to have the right perspective and not count my life dear to myself. I'm willing to be humble. I'm willing to understand God's plan and God's purpose for me. I understand that I am just part of a story. I'm part of God's plan and God's will for my life. I was telling the children's church this morning about Moses and the great story about Moses and how God used Moses in a miraculous, supernatural way for all those years of his life. But all he had to do was be faithful. And as he was faithful on what he was supposed to do that day, God helped him the next day. And as he continued to be faithful, God continued to use him and use him. But it was a story that started back with him being put inside a little floating ark type thing when they were trying trying to kill all the babies to where he thought the nation of Israel would embrace him as a deliverer at the age of 40. But no, he goes and spends 40 years on the backside of the desert. And then God calls him to be that deliverer with God's power and God's might over and over. He couldn't have wrote that story. There's no way he would have wrote that story for himself. But instead, he learned something. He learned, if I'm just faithful and if I do what I'm supposed to do day after day after day, God will use me. And if we will learn that, if we will not count our lives dear unto ourselves, but instead that if I would learn to just be part of what God desires for my life and faithfully just do, I don't have to figure it all out. I don't have to understand what everything that God's doing in America and everything that God's doing in this world. All I need to know is, what does God want me to do today? Just like on the road to Damascus, he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And when he told him who he was and that he was God, he says, "What will you have me to do?" That's the question for today, is what does God want me to do with my life today? I don't have to figure out what the pastor should do. I don't have to figure out what this person has to do. I don't have to figure out what President Biden should do. What I need to do is, God, what is it you want me to do with my life today so I can be ready? I can be ready to live for Christ. I can be ready to die for Christ today. If you're going to truly live for him, you're going to learn how to die for him. You say, I don't know about you, but I picture, and once again, you want to use that imagination you have. People call it a sanctified imagination. I can imagine when Paul was there, and Paul was in that miserable prison cell, and maybe the executioner came to Paul and told Paul to come the day before they, according to tradition or history, talks about how he was beheaded. That day, I don't think he was someone that was somber. I don't think he was someone that was sad. I don't think he was someone that was, they were having to drag to him. I think that Paul was ready to live, or he was ready to die for Christ. I think he's someone who embraced what God had for him, and he loved what he got the opportunity to do. But he also said, for me to live is Christ, but he says to die is gain. He says, it's okay if you take me away. It's okay if you take my head off. It's okay, because you know what? This is not the end of me. This is just the beginning. It sort of reminds you of that song, "It Will Be Worth It All." Amen. When we see Jesus. Amen. And that's what I believe, that's the way Paul looked at it. He was ready to preach the gospel at Rome. If that's where God wanted him to go, hey, I'm ready to preach the gospel at Rome. He ended up going back to Jerusalem. And, you know, he even had people say, hey, you shouldn't go back. You're going to get, he says, don't worry about me. I just want to do what God wants me to do. I'm ready to live for him. I'm ready to die for him. And the next thing is, I'm ready to go. The idea that not only am I ready to live for him, and not only am I ready to die for him, and that sometimes we get to that point where we're surrendered, but I'm just not willing to go. You say, Pastor, where do you see that? I don't see that with Paul's life. I see that in my own life. I see that in believers' lives. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I'm supposed to live for Christ. I want to do that. I get it. It might even cost me something. Okay, I'm willing to do that. Okay, here it is. It's time to go. I can't do it. I don't get the opportunities. Now, here's the thing. It's number one, you have to be surrendered. Look what it says in verse number one there. It says Romans 1:1. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, see, here he's ready because, number one, he has to be surrendered. As Paul begins his comments to the Roman Christians here in verse number one, he doesn't begin by boasting in his office. He doesn't call himself the great apostle. He doesn't say, I'm the man that has planted all these churches. You better listen to me. No, what does he say? He begins by proclaiming himself to be a servant. The word here means a bond slave. This calls to mind the law of the bond slaves in the Old Testament. According to this law, a slave could refuse his freedom and could choose to remain with his master forever. It's found in Exodus 21. Instead of exalting himself before the Romans, he chooses to humble himself. And I believe this is part of the secret of the greatness of a Christian life, or at least the greatness of Paul. Paul knew that like a slave, he had no personal rights. His life was dictated to him by the master. He was totally sold out to the will of God. He was totally abandoned for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we truly want to see what he means when he says, I'm a debtor and that I am ready and that I'm not ashamed, we must also abandon ourselves, our own desires, our own wants, our own interests, and say, I am ready. I am ready to share the gospel. I'm ready to preach the gospel. not only does he have to be surrendered, but he has to be willing to go anywhere. And once again, I know I brought this up earlier, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Is there a spot that you're not ready to share the gospel with? God brought that individual to my mind this week. Hey, why aren't you ready to share the gospel with them? You'll preach to people. You'll preach and you'll tell everyone else to share the gospel. You'll go knock on someone else's door you never met and say to them, hey, you know, we'd love to have you come out to our church. Hey, if you died today, do you know that you would go to heaven? Or was there ever a time in your life that you understood that you were a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for those sins and that you must turn to God and put your faith and trust in him? You can say that to a stranger, but are you really ready to go and say that to that individual? And God spoke to my heart about that. And when I'm studying this message, I see this. I'm saying, okay, am I ready? Am I ready to preach the gospel? Am I ready to? And so Paul has abandoned. He wants wherever God wants him to, wherever he needs to do, whatever he needs, and that's where we need to get in our lives. I know what some people are saying. It's that family member, isn't it? That maybe God's bringing to your heart. Maybe it's that friend. Maybe it's that spouse. Maybe it's a child, grandchild. So my encouragement to you today is be ready to spread the gospel. How do you be ready to spread the gospel? Number one, you're going to have to learn to live for him. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Be ready to live for him. Be ready to die, but also be ready to serve or ready to go. You say, Pastor, what's the difference? Sometimes God calls us to stay. I find it interesting. And sometimes when we talk to missionaries, we have a couple of missionaries that are coming and they're on deputation. What it means on deputation means that they're trying to raise support to go to another ministry, to a different place, many times a foreign land. One's talking about going to Ivory Coast. One's talking about going to Brazil. And they will raise money to send somewhere to spread the gospel to a group of people that they've never met before often. The question is, are you doing to your neighbors? Are you talking to the Elizabeth City that's around you? There's no sense. There's no sense. Brother Christian someday wants to be a missionary. Brother Christian, Miss Alyssa, they want to someday, they believe God's called them to a foreign field. They want to go serve the Lord. It would be no sense for them to say, hey, I want to go reach the people in India if they're not willing to reach the people in Elizabeth City. That would make no sense at all. We would all agree with that. We shouldn't support someone like that. They should be willing to do it. But the question is, are we willing ourselves to go spread the gospel? You see, they have a calling on their life. We all have a calling on our life. But that question is, that calling is that some are preparing themselves and that are ready. The Mack family, the Barrett family, they're ready. They're raising their support to go and spread it. And they're saying they're ready to go to the gospel, even to the Ivory Coast and even to Brazil. And even as Brother Barnhouse works with those that are in Zambia. Great, wonderful. Are you ready? Are you ready to share the gospel? So this week, when we talk about further furtherance of the gospel, there's some things we want to try to tie in all together. Is you say, Pastor, yes, I understand from week one, I understand I'm supposed to spread the gospel. I understand last week I do have the obligation. I understand this week I need to get myself prepared and ready. It means being ready to live for him, being ready to die for him, but also ready to go. Don't say, I don't have opportunities. You can go find opportunities. You can. There is a world of lost people out there that everyone you meet either is dying and going to a horrible place called hell or has been born again and going to a wonderful place called heaven. But each person will stand before God or kneel before God someday in some form of judgment. Are they ready? Is something you could ask them. But the question that we're asking this morning is, are you ready to share the gospel? Are you flexible? What do you mean flexible? So often we like to put everything in a little box, put a bow on top of it and say, hey, that's the way a person gets saved. It doesn't work that way. It means that I am surrendered to God's plan for my life. I am signing up for whatever he has for me. Now, as I leave this place and I live my life and I see people and I meet people, I am ready to give the gospel every time God gives me that opportunity, whether it's a family member, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a stranger on the street, whether it's whoever, as a friend, whatever and whoever it is, I'm ready and prepared as God opens up the doors. And as you surrender yourself and you're willing to go, you know what's going to happen? He's going to give you opportunities. You say, how do you know that? He's done it for me. If there's anybody out there that really isn't that is apprehensive, if there's anybody out there that's a little bit afraid, if there's anybody out there that probably isn't the easiest to talk to, it would be me. But at the same time, I know as I surrender and as I go, he gives me opportunities and ways, but I must learn to be surrendered to his will and his plan for my life. So the challenge for this week is, and this is a pretty simple challenge, and it's something that many of you probably already do, but I bet you some don't. Have you ever been somewhere and you wanted to give somebody an invitation to the church or a gospel tract and you just didn't have any with you? Unfortunately, that's happened to me before, and that's not good. So my challenge to everybody in this room is to carry a gospel tract with you every time you leave your house this week. You say, what's a gospel tract? Well, they're out there on that table. Should be enough for everybody to take a few and just carry it with you. Now, someday do we want to pass them out? Of course we do. But at the same time, this is a step for some people. It's like, well, how could you invite someone to church if you don't have something to give to them? Yeah. So this will make you ready. So when you leave today, whether you grab a couple with you, if you're a lady and you carry a purse, keep a couple in your purse. If you're a guy, you can keep it in your shirt pocket, your back pocket, whatever it is, carry it with you. Putting inside your wallet kind of folds it up, but that's okay. But whatever it is, take it with you. You say, why would I do that? So you could be ready. If God gives you an opportunity to present the gospel or just to invite someone to church, then that will have you, you'll be ready to do that. You say, Pastor, that seems so simple. You'd be amazed how many people, if we asked you, hey, can you pull out a gospel tract right now? There are probably at least half the people in this room that could not. It's because they just don't see the purpose of it. They know they're not going to do it, so why would they? Or they would have to dig deep to find one. If we're going to further the gospel, we have to be ready. This year, if we're going to make a difference, we had to be prepared. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He says, I'm debtor. Remember, he was talking about being faithful to our obligations. He's saying, I am ready, which means I am flexible for what God has planned for me. I am flexible for the gospel, that I am going to make sure I have something with me if somebody, I get the opportunity. I'm going to be flexible. I don't care where I'm at. Paul says, if I'm at Rome, okay, if I'm at the gas station, or if I'm in the best part of town, or if I'm in the bad part of town. Yesterday, we went to some not a big neighborhood, but they had big, huge houses, and they knocked on doors and talked to people. We were in the Camden area yesterday, and we talked to some people, and you know, whether it's the low-income areas, or it doesn't matter, wherever it is, I want to be ready to present the gospel. I'm ready when I'm willing to, ready to live for him, and I'm ready to die for him, but I also have to be ready to go anywhere and everywhere, that God would give us strength, and God would lead us and guide us on how to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we'll finish it with this. I know there's people in this room today that would profess, hey, I'm not a Christian. If I die today, I'm not sure if I go to heaven. Pretty sure I wouldn't, according to what the Bible says. The Bible has provided us a way. The gospel talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to Scripture. It talks about, if you look at what it says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto the salvation to everyone that believeth. If you will believe and trust in what God says in his word, you have the opportunity to have everlasting life. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm glad it doesn't say that to everyone that does something. It doesn't say that. It says to everyone that believeth. What do we need to believe? Number one, we need to believe that we're sinners. The Bible says, for all sin has come short of the glory of God. And that sin has a penalty, that sin has a wage that must be paid. And Jesus Christ paid that sin debt for us. And that we recognize that we're sinners, and we understand that sin has separated us from God, that sin must be paid for. And that's what Jesus Christ did on that cross when he died for our sins. and he paid our sin debt for us. And as we turn to God and we put our faith and trust in the Lord and we turn to him and we stop believing in other things, we stop trusting in other things, and we see that our sin has separated us from God, and we turn to God and we put our faith and trust in what he did. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a whosoever gospel. That's what it's saying here. Whosoever is saying that to the Jew first and also to the Greek, talking about is for each and every person. That's what salvation is. It's believing in what the Bible says is necessary for salvation and for eternal life. Have you ever done that? If you died today, do you know? You said, Pastor, I got my whole life. You might say, hey, I'm a teenager. I got 60 years in front of me. I've seen many teenagers buried unexpectedly. You might say, well, I'm 90 years old. I've done so well. I've seen older people that have died without Christ. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Whether you're a child to an adult, find out what the Bible says. Believe as if God is convicting your heart of your sin. That's where the difference is when he speaks to our heart and says, hey, you're a sinner. You need to get this right. It's the Holy Spirit that draws people. Maybe he's speaking to someone's heart today and say, I've never, ever done that. Do it today. And then you can become a part of furthering the gospel. So this week, I'll ask that same question. I doubt I'll ask it every single week, but it's something that will come across often. What did you do this week to further the gospel of Jesus Christ? What did you do? Remember that story we talked about, that missionary that preached that message, and he says, will we do nothing? They hear the truth and they see the stories about the souls that are necessary. Will we still do nothing? Are we not going to do anything about it? What will we do this week for the furtherance of the gospel? Are you going to be a debtor, as we learned about last week? Are we ready? And as we learn next week, I'm not ashamed also. Let's have everybody bow their head and close their eyes for a word of prayer. Let me ask a question real quick with everybody's head bowed.